Amen. Could you play the alma mater? Okay, great. All right, excellent, excellent. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated, please. Be seated. Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 41. Genesis, is this on? Is this on? Okay. Preach that truth. Genesis 41. In your Bible. I did not get the memo. Well, okay, I got it, but I got it too late. That it is a casual day at Hiles Anderson College. Casual day. So we don't need this, do we? We don't need this. We'll take this off. All right. There you go. All right. So restrictive, you know? I mean, so we're going to give it away to a young man, if he's willing, to come up here and sing the alma mater, all right? So, if you're willing, I have worn this tie in chapels all across America. So, Bobby. Well, actually, I want to try something first here. I have been arguing all week and debating with about LeBron and MJ, which is just tiring to me. So we're gonna settle it here and now, all right? So, Hunter Pounds, are you willing? Hunter, are you willing to sing the alma mater? Brent, come on up. Hunter is one of our star students here at Hiles Anderson College. He was in my youth group, and you ready to go?
As I'll ever be.
You've got it? Hunter, do you know the alma mater? All right. Lord help us. All right, this might go south. Here we go. All right, I just the first verse.
Yeah. I'd like to take this moment to thank my mom, my brother Judah, and most importantly, God the Father. Amen. I will say this.
Sing the song.
Hold on. I will say this. I am wearing Jordans today because I'm on the winning side, brother. Amen. Can I use this? Long these honored halls of learning have been filled with joys and tears, and the blessed sacred memories will be cherished through the years. May our lives be spent what they said.
Oh man, that's good. Hunter Pounds is the man. All right. You want me to sing it? No, I'm not gonna do it. All right. Genesis chapter 41. I want to bring a simple message to you this morning, something that has challenged me for some time, and I'm excited to bring it. We had a great night last night, and everybody that prayed, it would be impossible, not impossible, I'll know shortly, I don't know right now how many visitors we had in church, And I hesitate to give a number, but it was a lot. Hundreds, for sure. Hundreds of first-time visitors in church. And a lot of work that went into that. And I'll echo what Brother Francis said. We here at Hiles Anderson, we're about souls. We want to see souls get saved. And that's what it's all about. And we're honored that you would be here. And we don't have a truckload of time. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 41, and let's look at verse number 8, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. There was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." Father, I pray that you would bless the time that we have this morning for preaching. It's great to look across the crowd and to see friends, people I went to college with, and those who have children here and now, and it's just great. It's wonderful. Thank you for these students. And God, I pray that you would protect our students here at Hiles Anderson and keep us right and tender and zealous. Lord, for these college days students, I just pray that you'd make your will clear to them and help them to follow you, not just in college, but help them to live for you for the rest of their lives. And bless this message. And Lord, would you help us to examine ourselves this morning? We'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Joseph has fascinated people for over 3,700 years. The favored son, his coat of many colors, his vision from God, his dream that God gave to him. We've been riveted as we see his story unfold in the scriptures, how God moved Joseph from a pit to Potiphar's house, and ultimately to the presence of Pharaoh himself in the palace. And make no mistake about it, as Joseph would say, that journey with all the turns and twists, God, while some meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And the butler makes an interesting statement to Pharaoh in remembering the time that he spent with Joseph. One that caught my attention some time ago, and I want to bring it to you this morning. Look what the Bible says in verse number 12. As the butler was remembering Joseph, the Bible says this in verse 12. It's underlined in my Bible. "And there was there with us a young man." There was there. We are remembering the days that we were in prison, remembering Pharaoh has summoned us up. We're standing in front of the most powerful man in the world. We remember someone. Remember things about a person. Remember what was next to us in a prison that we could never forget. There was there. I wonder what was there in Joseph's life that caused the butler to remember him. I wonder what was there. Just another young man in prison? I don't think so. Prison is full of young men. Just another story, how he was set up and falsely accused? The truth of the matter is, prison is full of those stories. What was there in Joseph's life that set him apart? What was there that caused him, everywhere he went, to stand out in Potiphar's house, in a prison cell? What was there that arrested the attention of heaven and cause God himself to take note of a young man and to propel him from a prison and a pit to the palace? What was there? I submit to you this morning, there was so much more than just some random teenager, so much more than just some run-of-the-mill young man like the Bible describes him. There was more to Joseph's life than that. And I wonder what's here this morning. As I look at this crowd, I wonder what is here when the lights are turned off and the buses roll out and the chapel is shut down. What's going to leave this place when God looks from heaven at this chapel? What does he see? Just young people enjoying each other's company, cheering, having fun. Look, you can see that anywhere. I wonder if there's anything in this chapel that would set us apart, that would set you apart from the rest. Is there anything here that would be remembered 3,700 years from now? And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, There Was There. And I want to show you four things that I see in Joseph's life. Four things that were different. Four things that while he was a young man, these four things, I believe with all of my heart, King, everywhere he went, it caused him to excel. It caused him to be recognized, not only by his peers, but by God himself. I've looked at these four things, and I want these four things to be present in my life, and I want them to be present in your life. What was there? I want to give them to you quickly in the time we have. Number one, there is a young man. Think about this. He was committed to God in hardship. Committed to God in hardship. I mean, we're talking about his brothers hated him. Jealousy. Placed in a pit. Sold into slavery. Framed and accused. And when he had done nothing wrong, he was put in prison. And in prison, he had one request. Just remember me. But he wasn't remembered. He was forgotten. I mean, all kinds of hardship in Joseph's life. He was rejected. And watch this. You never see him waver in his dream. You never see him wobble in his calling. He's not in the prison cell saying, this must have been some emotional decision, and I went forward because everybody else did. No, no. In Joseph's life, he was committed to God in hardship. And friends, there is nothing that says your life is going to be easy. God has not promised us an easy life. He has not promised us no hardship and no trials and no difficulty. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. In this life, we will have trouble. But my question for you is there anyone here that'll be committed to God in hardship? Committed to God. Committed to God. Man, I'm glad that Jesus was committed to us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He died on a cross. He was committed. Are you committed in hardship? Hey, listen to me. We've got a lot of quit in us these days. There's a lot of quit in church. There's a lot of softness. This might not be the college days message. I apologize. I'm going to Michigan in a few hours and we'll fix it there. But watch this. Hey, watch this. A lot of softness. A lot of turn back. A lot of not willing to do some difficult things for God. I remember when my dad looked at me and he said, son, my Muslim dad, he said, son, Christianity is for the poor and the weak. It's for women and children. It's not for people like you. Well, what do you do when your dad says that? And I'm not here to say I'm something special. I'm asking you the question. What do you do? What do you do? You say, oh, dad, you're right. I'm sorry. And you quit. Do you quit? I'm talking about we need young people that are committed to God in hardship. Too many of us quit over the smallest problem. We stop going soul winning after a little rejection. We quit on our prayer meetings when our friends aren't interested. We quit on our decisions when the conference is over. We give up on God when we have the slightest trouble. My friends, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Hey, if this world rejects you, they rejected Jesus. You'll be okay. Don't quit in hardship. No,
He was committed to God in hardship, but I want you to see something else. I see a second thing. Boy, I want this to be here. And we might just stay here. Something that set him apart. Something that made him different. I want you to notice something. Look at this. Not only was he committed to God, but number two, he was conscious of his heritage. Look at verse number 12. Look at it. There was there with us a young man, and look what the Bible says, a Hebrew. That's interesting. In an Egyptian prison, the butler remembers he was a Hebrew. Now, what makes it really interesting is there weren't a lot of Hebrews in that day. And so something about Joseph was committed to his heritage, conscious of his heritage in an Egyptian prison. How'd they know he was a Hebrew? Must have been something about the way he lived, the way he prayed, the way he talked. Perhaps he didn't have his head down just trying to blend in. He wasn't just another prisoner. He wasn't just an average person. He wasn't just a game playing, a girl chasing teenage guy. There was something different about him. Hey, you could find people like that all over the place. But where are the young men that are committed and conscious of their heritage? What I'm trying to say is Joseph wasn't ashamed of who he was. He wasn't ashamed. That butler said, I remember him. He was a Hebrew. Here's what I remember. He was a Hebrew. There was a young man, and he was different. He was a Hebrew. Can I just say this? And I think you need to hear it. I'm not ashamed. Look, I am not perfect, but I am not ashamed of who I am, of my heritage. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the King James Bible. I know who I am. I understand it. And we need a generation of young men that will say, hey, we don't have to be ugly. We don't have to be filled with hate. We're not better than anyone else, but I'll say this, I am not ashamed of my heritage, man. And where are the young people that'll say, I'm not ashamed either. I am not ashamed. I'm conscious of my heritage. I have no desire to compromise. I'm not trying to change. I believe in soul winning, in discipleship, in missions, in Sunday school. I believe the King James Bible from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm conscious of my heritage. Preaching, man, I like preaching. I tell people, I'm living the dream. It's your nightmare. It's my dream. I love it. I don't want to have a talk. I'm not trying to reason it out. Look. Preach. I remember sitting in this chapel and hearing preaching. I mean, the kind of preaching where guys made a fool of themselves and they did cartwheels and all sorts of stuff, crazy stuff hanging from the balcony. And I like it, all right? I believe, man, hey, if I've got to be a fool for Christ for you to listen, then sign me up, man. I believe in preaching. I believe in reaching the poor at Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, standards and how we live, how we dress, giving, praying, serving, loving people, godly music. Joseph was a young man who was conscious of his heritage. And he wasn't trying to change. And God give us some young people that'll know who they are. Man, I was reached through the bus ministry. I was reached through the bus ministry. I don't know if the bus ministry is in the Bible or not, but it might as well be. It's in my version, all right? It's in there. I've changed nothing except there's a little insert in there that says, and run buses. Hey, listen. I'm in a lot of churches that say, you know, bus ministry doesn't work. Look, you do you, but hear me well. If Jesus were in your town, he would go after the poorest people in that town. He would go after the most broken people in that town. He would find them first, and I know it, because that's what he did when he walked this earth. And my friends, that's how he found me. I was broken. I was lost. I was nobody, and some bus workers came by and invited me to church, and who am I to turn my back on that kind of a heritage? You see, whatever it meant to be a Hebrew in an Egyptian prison, that's what Joseph was. Some of you are going to work. You'll go to work. You'll leave a championship game and you'll clock into work. And I wonder, is there anybody in work that says, let me tell you about this person that I work with. They're different. They're different. Their music's different. The way they talk is different. There's something about them. I wonder if anybody will remember years down the road. Yeah, I worked with a kid from some weird college, and they were different. Man, they were 17, 18, 19. They really loved God. Hey, friends, it's okay to be in this world and not of this world. Whatever it means to be sold out, zealous, on fire, that's what I want God to see when he looks here. When God looks here at my life, if it were just me in the room, man, I want God to see somebody that loves him with all of his heart. I want God to see somebody that's on fire. I want God to see somebody that's willing to burn out. I want God to see somebody that's going to give it all and not compromise. That is what's here. I wonder what's out there. There was there a young man, a Hebrew. What's here? I see something else. We got to hustle. Number one, I see somebody in Joseph that was committed to God in hardship. I see somebody in Joseph that was conscious of his heritage. But watch this. I see somebody in Joseph that has a compassionate heart. Look at chapter 45. And look, if you would, in verse number 1 through 3. I'm taking advantage, taking for granted that you know the story. The Bible says this. The Bible says that Joseph, in chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Verse 2, and he wept aloud. The Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. He couldn't refrain himself, and he cried, and he wept aloud. You see, he cared enough about the butler to help him. After all the discouragement, disappointment, after all the hardness that could have set in Joseph's life, he had a compassionate heart. He cared about his brothers that were blinded, standing in front of him. Think about how hard he could have been. Think about how numb he could have been. Think about how angry he could have been. But you don't see any of it in Joseph. His heart was tender. I got a question. When God looks at you, does he see a tender heart? Hey, we're too judgmental. Think about how judgmental Joseph could have been. Think about it. Standing there looking at his brothers. Only seeing their failures, just judgmental. That's not what Joseph was. Man, he saw his brothers that were blinded. He saw his brothers that were wrong. And he couldn't even keep it in, the Bible says. I wonder, when was the last time you cried over anything? Hey, friend, when was the last time? Well, you don't know, Brother Judah. You know, college is hard, and we're in the grind, and we're living it. Class, chapel, class, work, and boy, it's tough. And yeah, almost as tough as what? An Egyptian prison? Yet Joseph maintained a tender heart. I never want to get to the place where I don't cry over souls. I never want to get to the place where a teenager shows up and they're broken and they need some help and they've got a story. And I'm just, well, I've heard this 1,000 times. No, my friend, when God looks here, I want him to see a compassionate heart. I think that set Joseph apart. That's what was there. I wonder what's here today. You just numb. You're just whatever. Hey, how long has it been since you felt the conviction of God? How long has it been since God broke through your hard heart and stirred it for something that was eternal? Man, we're living for the here and now. Joseph had bigger plans in mind. He had a compassionate heart. When was the last time you paid close enough attention to the song you were singing? that the words got deep down in your heart and the tears welled up in your eye? When was the last time you went to a friend that was struggling and you knew it and you said, look, man, I love you and I'm praying for you and you can make it? When was the last time anybody would notice in your life the compassion of God? You see, that was there. That was there in Joseph's life. It was never forgotten. There was there. A young man committed to God in hardship, a young man conscious of his heritage, a young man who had a compassionate heart. But I want to give you one last thing, because I see it. I see it in Joseph's life. There was there a young man, and don't miss this. Boy, if you hear nothing else, hear this. He was connected to heaven. Look at chapter 41, verse number 16. The very conversation in our text, the Bible says, in Genesis 41, verse number 16, the Bible says, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. Pharaoh wanted an answer, an interpretation to his dream. And Joseph said, it's not in me. Look at it. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. When tempted by Potiphar's wife, in chapter number 39, in verse number 9, he said this. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Look at what he says to her. How then can I do this great wickedness and lose my job? No. Go to prison? No. Look at what he said. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, in Joseph's life, there was a young man that was connected to heaven. He was connected to heaven. It wasn't about his earthly connections. His earthly connections had thrown him in a pit, had turned their back. It wasn't about his plug. You know, I got a plug over here. No, it wasn't about any of that. He was connected to heaven. And I wonder, is that here today? Is there a young man that when it's all said and done, man, you may not do everything perfect. I get it. None of them do. But at the end of the day, you are connected to heaven. I mean, I'm talking about in the face of temptation, you're close enough to God to say, man, I can't sin against the Lord. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord? It's me, Pharaoh. God will give you an answer of peace. I wonder, is there anybody this afternoon, this morning, that is connected to heaven? Would anybody say that about you? Is that here? So let me tell you something, friends. When this whole thing is over, that's one of the only things that's going to matter. You get out there in the ministry. You go serving God. I don't care how well you can sing. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how good of a worker you are. If you at some point in time do not learn how to be connected to heaven, you will not make an eternal difference for the kingdom of God. And here at Hiles Anderson, look, hey, I'll put it like, I don't care how big we are. I don't care if any of you college students come. I mean, really, I really don't, okay? What I'm saying is, the ones that are here, let's get connected to heaven. Let's get connected to God. Let that be what sets us apart, and not just as a college, but as a people. Let the world say, there are some people there that know how to pray, that can get an answer from God. There are some people there that have a God that moves mountains for them. He can cause the Red Sea to part for them. They are connected to heaven. That was in Joseph's life. That was remembered. And I wonder, is it here? Is it here? We had a great night last night. I don't know how many visitors. I don't know. 600, maybe more. Probably more. Families, if you were there, you saw it. Families, moms and dads filling the church. Unbelievable. Now, if you think that started because of a magic show, you're out of your mind. Look at me. You are out of your mind. If you think that was because some guy came, and I love Brother Corn. He's a friend. He's not some guy. But if you think it was because of him, you're out of your mind. Joe, would you stand up? Can you do it? Can you stand up, Joe? I didn't realize Joe would be here today. Joe and I were working late last night. cleaning up the magic show. A month and a half ago, we were getting ready to cancel this thing. We were getting ready to shut it down. Couldn't get into a public school. Couldn't get in. Sent faxes and emails and showed up. We couldn't get an appointment with a principal. We could not get in. We were a month and a half away. No school scheduled. Nothing. Zero. Brother Korn coming to perform in front of nobody. That's what we had. And every week I'd ask Joe, how we doing, man? Where are we at? Nothing. I'm telling it right? I was getting nervous. Joe, were you getting nervous? I was getting nervous. We decided to pray. And I decided to pray, and Joe decided to pray. You know what? Hey, look at me, and I'm embarrassing him, and I don't mean to do that. But that young man wanted to see God do something. Are you listening to me? And it's not about Brother Judah, and it's not about Joe Woosley. We wanted to see God do something. And after all the faxes were sent, and all the emails, and all the phone calls, and all the appointments, yielding nothing, we decided to dream again for God. We didn't want that dream of filling the auditorium. We didn't want that dream of reaching teenagers. We didn't want that thing to die. So where do you go? Hey, where do you go? When you can't make an appointment with a principal, where do you go? When they won't even take the flyer, where do you go? I don't know where you'll go. We went to God Almighty. That's where we went. Because there is a King of Kings, and there is a Lord of Lords, and there is one who holds the heart of the King in his hand. And I remember we began to pray and fast and work and go, and Joe went to a school, and I believe I'm telling it right. He shows up, man, let's go to this school one more time, one last time, on the verge of canceling this whole meeting. When he shows up, the principal and the vice principal, he shows up, and the principal and the vice principal are in the office holding the facts, holding the promotional material that we had sent weeks ago, holding it together, looking at it. He walks in and they said, oh, look at that. Are you with this guy? Are you with this? We were just talking about this. And Joe got a big smile on his face. Yeah, I'm with him. Oh, what do we got to do to schedule you? And how many days, Joe? 2 days? 3 days? A week? In a week? All the schools were scheduled. Hey, watch this. Connected to heaven. Hey, that's what was there in Joseph's life. And anytime you see something great happen for God, make no mistake about it. Don't give credit to a man. Give credit to a connection that was made with the man himself, with God Almighty. That's what you need in your life. If we take a picture of this crowd, just take a picture of it. You know, get one of the photographers up here to do that. You know, that little thing that they do? Drive me crazy. But take a picture of this crowd up here. And 5 years later, just go through where she's at. Wonder where he's at. Wonder whatever happened to Anish. I wonder. And we just go right on through and right on through. We go to the staff members. And we go right on through to the preacher, to everybody. We go right on through. Watch this. If anything stands out in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, if anybody says, yeah, I sat in chapel with them, let me tell you what they weren't really known on campus, but let me tell you what they were like. They were known in heaven. They were connected to heaven. They were committed to God in hardship. They were conscious of who they weren't ashamed. I mean, they didn't have a lot of talent, but they weren't ashamed of who they were. They had a heart of compassion. That is what God recognizes. God doesn't care how talented you are, how hard you work. I, on a surface level, I'm sure he cares about your character, but listen to me. There are some X factors. There are some immeasurables that we need a big dose of in our lives. You gonna quit? I mean, the second it gets difficult, you're going to quit. Hey, if all you need is an excuse, the devil will give you 1,000 of them to turn back. But there's a world that needs the gospel, and we need some young people that are committed to God. You ashamed? Are you ashamed of who you are? What brought you here? I'm not ashamed. Brother, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm not ashamed. Hey, you got a heart of compassion? The thing, you know what I love about preaching? When I listen to preachers, I'll just, you know, and everybody's different. I get it. My favorite preachers are the ones that I could sense. Man, there's some heart there. There's some love there. Hey, young man, you can preach as hard as you want to preach if there's a tear in the eye and some sincerity behind it. When was the last time your heart was moved? Moved. And then finally, you connected to heaven. Well, my dad, he's you know, he's a big name preacher. Good. Good for your dad. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's a great heritage. What about you? My dad teaches here. Wonderful. That's a great thing. Good for you. Wonderful. What about you? Are you connected to heaven? We got anybody in this room connected to heaven? I see some junior hires, Joe, that you brought with you. Hey, guys, you connected to heaven? When God looks and he sees you, are you connected to heaven? Does he see it in the chapel of Hiles Anderson? That's what was there, brother. And when that's there, you can go as low as a prison cell and get lifted to the palace when that's there. What's here this morning? Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? There was there. And I wonder, hey, friends, I wonder, what's here? What is it? What is it? What's here? I wonder who would say, Brother Judah, look, let's just, I think I'm on time. I might be a little late, but watch this. Let's be honest. Let's just treat it like church. Whether you're at the altar or you're in the crowd, who would say this, Brother Judah, I know what it is to want to quit. I know what it is. I just know what it is. Life happens, difficulty, circumstance. Maybe people talk about you. I don't know. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's, but I know what it is to want to quit. Would you be honest enough right now to lift your hand high and say, I know what it is to want to quit? Hey, with all these hands up, you can put them down, but listen to me, don't quit. Don't quit. I don't know what God is doing. I can't explain it all. I don't have every answer, but I know this. I know this. You be committed to God in hardship. Like a Job, like a Joseph, you be committed to God. Who would say this? Judah? I don't want to turn my back on my heritage. I have a goodly heritage. And I'm not just talking about family, though. I'm talking about family, but I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about being a Baptist. I'm just talking about what we're in right now. Who says, Brother Jed, I'm not looking to change. I don't want to compromise. Would you lift your hand and let me see it? Hey, who would say this? Brother Judah, my heart has gotten hard, and I'm praying right now for the compassion of God. I want that to be here. Man, when I talk to bus kids, when I'm with my friends, I want them to see a compassion that is genuine and real and that cares about the things of God. Would you lift your hand? Good, good. Now watch this. Hey, we need a chapel full of people to be connected to heaven. We are connected to everything else. We have followers. We have no answered prayers. We have views. We haven't showed up in the eyes of God for a long time. We're numb. Who says, Brother Jude, I want to be connected to heaven, man. In my Bible, in prayer, doing what it takes. But I want to know God, and I want there to be a connection. Watch this. You can have every earthly connection in this world. Give me Jesus. Brother Jude, I want that. Would you lift your hand and let me see it? A connection to heaven will make all the difference, friend. It'll make all the difference. It's what you need. It's what you're missing. It's the empty place in your heart that can only be filled by the power and the Spirit of God. I want to be connected to heaven. There was there. And God, when you look here, I want you to see some of these things in the life of Abdel Judah. Lord, I'd love for you to see it in our chapel and in our students. God, I want it to be in my family, my children. I want it to be with those that work with me. Lord, help it to be there. these things that set Joseph apart. Fill our chapel with these things, God. Give them to my sons. Give them to our pastor. Give them to our church. Help us to be committed and conscious and connected, compassionate. Oh, God, help that to be here. We may not have the best facilities and the flashiest programs, but Lord, please, please help that connection to be real. And God, would you give us servants and laborers and students and soldiers that leave this place and crisscross this country and crisscross this world, God, and for people to see it in them. Help us to be real. God, help us to be holy. Help us to live for eternity. There was there. Help it to be here in Jesus' name. Amen.